uncensored Radio Free America.
Rick Adams is on.
Hey, I'm on. Hello, good evening, everyone. Rick Adams here with you on this Friday night edition of the program. And we're going to welcome here right up front in the first hour, Ted Pike of TruthTellers.org to talk to us about the current status of legislation in the United States Congress that is being promoted by the Obama administration that would obviously do what we fear the most with regard to legislation punishing what is commonly called hate crime, hate speech in America. So good evening to you, Ted Pike.
Rick.
Hi, how are you there?
Real good. Thanks for having me.
All right, good. It's about time for an update, I guess. And we have a video, I guess, that you now, you have on your website, the video on hate laws can be defeated. And I think we might, if you wish, play some of that in the next portion of the program. If you want to play the audio of it to give people a primer.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
So we can do that when we come back in about 5 minutes. But first off, where do we stand right now with the advancement of this legislation in the House?
Well, we have two very dangerous hate crimes bills which are rapidly moving through the House Judiciary Committee. President Obama, of course, has given a green light, given his encouragement to this legislation. And I was told by the Judiciary Committee that as a result, they will be moving these bills through the committees of the judiciary as fast as possible. Now, there's two bills. There's H.R.
Right.
H.R. 256 is the first hate crimes bill, and that is the traditional one that's been introduced over the past 10 years. It's a shortened version, a condensed version, but it's the same old ADL-inspired hate bill that keeps rearing its ugly head. And fortunately, with God's grace and the activism of patriots, we have been able to defeat that bill five times over the last 10 years. But basically, what it will do is it will hold a speaker accountable for how his words affect unstable people who commit hate crimes. For example, if a pastor on the radio says that homosexuality is an abomination to God and that God killed maybe thousands of homosexuals in the destruction of Sodom, and some skinhead hears that message on the radio, goes out and bashes a gay, and then he says, well, Reverend so-and-so said so on the radio that God approves of that, then that pastor, that talk show host, that street evangelist, whoever it might be who makes that public statement, will be punished as a principal, according to this legislation. And that means that what if there were 5 or 10 people who advocated or encouraged this person? The list is endless of the confusion that can result out of this. So this is a very much of a speech crime law. It's ready to go as far as active prosecution against those who speak incorrectly in public in America.
Right. Okay, and there is the other bill as well, right?
Yes, there is H.R. 262, which is a brand-new hate crimes bill. It's called the David Ray Richeson hate crimes bill. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay, well, what we'll do is we'll come back and we'll have you introduce the video and we'll play the audio portion so people can get an idea of exactly what we're speaking. All right, Ted Pike is with me tonight, truthtellers.org. I'm Rick Adams. Stay tuned.
How dare you call yourselves patriots and heroes? If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, you are just plain wrong. There is no freedom.
Thank you. We're back now. And that's the truth, I guess. We're experiencing a rapid loss of our freedom here in America today. And, Ted, this video that you have prepared, if people will just navigate to the website, they can actually see it. For those who can't, we can play the audio if you wish. The website is truthtellers.org. And would you like to make an introductory comment about this special new video that you've prepared?
Yes, there is very little alarm and alerts going up from the, especially from the religious right, a big so-called conservative watchdog organizations. And I felt a tremendous need to alert and educate the American public concerning this very imminent threat that's coming through the House Judiciary Committee. So this video is dedicated very largely to explaining the sinister intentions of H.R. 256 and H.R. 262. I do also include ENDA in there, even though ENDA has not actually been officially introduced into Congress, but it's the top of the Obama's wish list at his website.
All right. So if we're ready, then I will now have our listeners get ready, and we will play that 9-minute and 57-second audio of the video clip. Okay, let's do that now.
Hello, I'm Ted Pike. Despite his smiles and charm, President Obama is a left-of-left liberal. He's determined to make America a hate crimes police state like Canada. Canadian anti-hate laws have destroyed freedom of speech for our northern neighbors. In Canada, it is illegal to publicly criticize homosexuality. Those who disobey face harsh fines and even imprisonment. Our new president supports multiple hate and bias crime bills, which are listed at the White House website. Today we'll consider these bills and how they threaten to also take away our free speech. One of Obama's top priorities is to pass the federal hate crimes bill, the David Ray Hate Crimes Prevention Act of 2009, H.R. 256. This legislation says if anyone counsels violence against a member of a federally protected group, such as homosexuals, then the counselor will be tried as a principal alongside the person who actually commits the hate crime. What does this really mean? A talk show host, writer, pastor, or even person on the street could go to prison if he repeats the Bible's counsel that homosexuality is an abomination to God. If an unstable person hears that counsel and then attacks a homosexual, the pastor or talk show host can be tried as a federal hate criminal. If Obama's federal hate crimes bill is passed, no one who speaks against the behavior of federally protected groups will be safe from arrest. You don't believe it? Just look at what similar hate laws have done in Canada. Pastors, writers, and average citizens have been convicted as hate criminals, merely for expressing their biblical beliefs. If a Canadian criticizes homosexuals, Muslims, or Jews, he can be arrested and fined $5,000. If he repeats the offense, he can go to prison. Canada is a telescope into the future of America if a federal hate law is passed. Obama's hate bill will also give the government power to enforce a federal hate law in all 50 states. No state will be exempt. It will unite federal hate crime law enforcement with local law enforcement. Traditionally, states have had legal boundaries to keep the federal government from meddling. But if this bill is passed, nothing will keep federal police out. This union of federal and local police is the very definition of a police state. The second hate crimes bill in the Democrat agenda is the David Ray Richardson Hate Crimes Prevention Act, H.R. 262. This bill would erect a federal hate crimes command center in Washington, D.C., costing taxpayers $10 million annually. Yet it will not be run by the government. Instead, the bill says a private civil liberties organization will direct it. Who can this be but the world's premier civil liberties group promoting hate laws, the Anti-Defamation League. ADL created this bill to put itself into the driver's seat of hate law enforcement in America. ADL masterminded the hate crimes police states in Canada, Europe, and Australia. ADL now orchestrates a 56-member nation hate crimes bureaucracy in Europe. ADL also persuaded 45 U.S. states to adopt some version of its model anti-hate law. Already, ADL has federal authority to instruct the U.S. Justice Department, FBI, and all local police on its hate crimes agenda. If this bill is passed, ADL will operate a 24-hour command center in Washington with a hate crime hotline and database, a center for spying on Americans with politically incorrect views. ADL will also assist the federal government in a massive national brainwashing program to eliminate bias in American schools. H.R. 262 proposes that every student from kindergarten through grad school will be re-educated against homophobic values and the Bible's hate speech. ADL says such biblical intolerance is the root cause of hate crimes against homosexuals. Already, under California's recent hate bill, signed by Governor Schwarzenegger, any student, teacher, or faculty member who criticizes homosexuality can be fired or expelled. The third hate bill on Obama's legislative wish list is ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. ENDA is a hate crimes bill for the workplace, which dictates how Americans can use their private property. It says any employer who refuses to hire a known homosexual or fires him because of his sexual orientation becomes a federal hate criminal. He faces harsh fines. If he repeats the offense, he can expect imprisonment. Under ENDA, churches also must hire homosexuals in all sponsored organizations, such as church schools, adoption agencies, and summer camps. Otherwise, their administrators become hate criminals, and the church loses tax-exempt status. ENDA also mandates that if a homosexual wants to rent your apartment or buy your house or property, and you refuse because he is a homosexual, then you can be arrested under a federal warrant. The first two hate bills are in the House Judiciary Committee and soon will enter the Senate Judiciary Committee. We must loudly protest them and ENDA starting today. 2 years ago, Lovers of Freedom bombarded Congress with phone calls of protest. They defeated six Orwellian bills, including the hate bill.
Contact your members of the House and Senate now. Call 1-877-851-6437, toll free, or 1-202-225-3121, toll, for the Capitol switchboard. The operator will direct your call to your Congress member. Call, fax, or email their offices. Tell them, please don't vote for the hate crimes bills, H.R. 256 and H.R. 262. Also, don't vote for ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. Existing law is sufficient to punish all crimes. Hate laws have taken away free speech in Canada, in European countries, and in Australia. Also, it is extremely important that you call the crucial 40 members of the House Judiciary Committee, listed at truthtellers.org. Call a few every day before work or during your lunch hour. Within a few days, all will have heard your message.
Creating controversy in the House Judiciary Committee 2 years ago was the single most important factor in defeating the hate and bias bills. Do you think your call won't make a difference? Think again. Members of Congress consider every call represents 1,000 people who feel the same but didn't have the scratch to protest. God and the American people have defeated the hate bill 5 times over the past 10 years. People just like you believe they could make a difference. How right they were. You can do the same today.
Come to truthtellers.org for complete educational resources to help you and your friends defeat hate laws. There you can watch our gripping 82-minute video, Hate Laws, Making Criminals of Christians, and our 10-minute quick education on the hate bill threat, Hate Bill Lies, Exposed.
Back in 3 minutes with Dad and Rick.
Have you been at the front?
Front? What front?
Why, the war, of course.
What war?
Good heavens. You mean you don't know we've been at war with Germany since 1914?
All right, we're back now. Ted Pike is with us. We just played the audio. And Ted, so now apparently there are 3 pieces of legislation that we should be concerned about, right?
Well, there are only 2 that have been, to my knowledge, introduced into the judiciary. That's the 2 hate bills. I warn against INDA because it's way up there at the top of the list of the president's desires that
right.
is listed on his website. And
right.
it's going to come in here in the next week or so, and I just thought I'd get the people ready for it. It's a hate crimes bill. There's basically 3 hate crimes bill. As I mentioned in the video, it's the one that deals with the workplace, real estate,
yeah.
churches, and so on.
And that's INDA. That's the INDA bill we talked
right.
about in the past. All right. So now what we're seeing now is this House Judiciary Committee entertaining some, debate on the measure?
Well, the new bill, H.R. 262, has gone into 6 different committees. And but the older traditional hate bill is only in the Subcommittee on Crime.
Right.
And all of this legislation entered these committees a week ago, Monday, although the hate bills have been introduced since the first week of January, as you know, by Sheila Jackson Lee.
Yeah, yeah. So what should our strategy be now as far as approaching these legislations?
Well, the first thing I think is people to go ahead and watch the video. There's a lot of very interesting graphics there. Makes it very lively, something you can pass on your friends through email, etc. Spread it around the web. Get your Sunday school class watching it. On and on. The possibilities are endless. It's short. It's under 10 minutes. Easily digested. A quick education on what's coming against us. But of course, the very first requirement for every patriotic American is to call. They're members of the House and the Senate. They're 2 senators and the representatives from their state. And giving that simple message that we gave on the video, please don't vote for H.R. 256 and 262. Don't vote, in fact, for any hate crimes legislation, including ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. But once people have discharged that duty and they really want to do something to save our precious republic and our freedom, for ourselves and our children and grandchildren, then, as I said, just determine you're going to set aside a little bit of time every morning before breakfast or during your lunch hour and make a few calls all week long until you have called all 40 members of the House Judiciary, both Republican and Democrat. It's necessary to call the Democrats, even though they're pretty hardened characters, because we want to intimidate them. We want them to know that the people are not going to stand for this kind of legislation, making us a police state like Canada, regardless of who's in the White House or is in control of Congress, but also that we are remembering them and their reaction to this next polling time. We're going to take revenge on them, and they're going to have to answer to the people. But we also want to give encouragement to the Republicans because, as you're very well aware, 2 years ago, we inspired massive calling, largely through talk radio, to the 40 members of the judiciary. We inspired no less than 11 Republicans to stand to their feet and propose 11 different amendments to the hate bill in the hearings in Judiciary Committee. They're attempting to water it down. Now, these were the same Republicans who the previous year, in the previous Congress, had done nothing. They sat there gazing on mutely while the hate bill passed the House of Representatives overwhelmingly in 45 minutes. But as a result of the people calling, these very same Republicans, they were galvanized into the action. It gave the impression of a massive public concern about hate crimes legislation. And that excitement, that controversy and so on, not only reverberated through several days of hearings in the House Judiciary Committee, but it reverberated out through the 180 members of the House of Representatives, inspiring them to harden their position against all kinds of Orwellian hate crimes, anti-Christian legislation. And the long and short of it was that, as I said, no less than six bills, including the hate bills, either foundered in committee or were defeated. And also this uproar that all of this calling to judiciary inspired caught the attention of President Bush, and he promised to veto not only the hate bill but INDA. And this, of course, put a wet blanket on a good deal of the zeal of the pro-hate bill forces in the 110th Congress.
Well, we're up against the break, and I want you to stay on in the next segment. But when we do return, I would like to ask you for your assessment of this Congress now as opposed to the previous Congress when Bush was in the White House, and what you think are the opportunities here, better or worse, considering the opposition to the majority party. So when we come back, I'd like to see if you have a sense of where that is moving with so far, and I know it's still early yet, obviously, but if you have any sense of feel as to what may happen within the Republican and Democratic circles in the Judiciary Committee and the other committees as well. All right, Ted Pike is with me, and truthtellers.org you can go to. We'll be back in 3 minutes. This is Rick Adams.
By some awful quirk of fate, the Morlocks had become the masters and the Eloi their servants. The Morlocks maintained them and bred them like cattle.
And here we are back with Ted Pike. And Ted, you heard my question before the break. Where do you feel at this point, if you have any sense of feel with the new Congress, that there's going to be a harder fight or maybe an easier fight with this new Congress?
Well, here's the upside. The legislative aide to Jackson Lee told me that there is so much information coming into Congress circulating around largely from the point of view of the Christian conservative right, that hate laws do end free speech and take away personal liberties, as evidenced by what is happening in Canada, European countries. A lot of this information is filtering into Congress, he told me, and that is really music for my ears. In fact, he told me that because of that, the second bill, the backup bill, was created as an alternative. If Congress won't pass a bill which gives the federal government punishment rights on the state level, then the other alternative is to create a bill which will educate our nation's youth against commission of hate crimes in the first place. You see, so they kind of got us coming and going. Mm-hmm. And also Harvard University came out with quite an extensive position paper on hate crimes, the whole issue of hate crimes legislation, and they were in a way, it was from a liberal point of view, but it did give real credence to the fact that there is a lot of controversy generating in Congress about hate crimes legislation. It says it's a very hot topic in Congress. Again, that's music to my ears because for more than 20 years, we have suffered because there is no controversy about hate laws. Everybody is against hate, so let's vote in the hate laws on the state level and on and on. And that's been the case not only in the United States but in Canada, Europe, Australia, and so on. The legislators almost line up to vote for hate bills. Now these liberal sources are telling us that hate crimes legislation has become a hot topic, a controversial topic in Congress. That's all good news to me. Now, here's the downside, and that is that we have a president, as I say in my video, who is a left-of-left liberal who's determined to pass all of the very worst of this kind of legislation, who's riding high in prestige and charisma and so on. And he's got more Democrats in Congress in both the House and the Senate than ever. And the danger here, of course, is that these liberals who are basically bought and sold out by the ADL will just simply steamroller this kind of legislation through, regardless of what the people have to say about it. And we've seen that kind of behavior a number of times in recent years. And so, really, the best strategy right now, as I've said, is to raise as much of a ruckus as we can immediately, focusing on the House Judiciary Committee. If we can get a bunch of Republicans, 8 or 10 or 12 Republicans again in the judiciary to put up a fuss, create a furor, get the attention of Congress, dramatize the hate bill controversy, then we're off and running. Now, that's probably not going to ensure that we defeat the hate bill in the House of Representatives, because we have so many more Democrats there who are going to vote according to the party line. The overall strategy is to raise the temperature of controversy in Congress in the hopes that that will spill over to the Senate. Now, in the Senate, we have a much better chance of creating problems for them because, obviously, you've got to have 60 votes in order to pass any kind of legislation. And we're down there, you see, with only two or three votes either way. And conceivably, if there's enough controversy, we can get some turncoat Republicans to come back over to the conservative side. We can get a few Democrats, as we did last time. We got three Democrats in the Senate last time who turned their backs on the hate bill and voted against it. If we could do that again, then we have a real possibility of victory in the Senate. But right now, I'm not concentrating on the Senate. That is a fight yet to come. I don't think that the hate bill has even been introduced yet into the Senate judiciary.
Okay.
But we have our hands full in the House judiciary right now.
Right, right. All right. That's fair enough. That's a good point. And I might add also that since you mentioned Canada in the video and in the audio we played, it is interesting to note that, up in Toronto, for instance, at the University of Toronto, there has been enormous pressure put on the administration of the university by the Hillel organization and other Jewish groups up there to cancel conferences that deal with a pro-Palestinian point of view, for instance.
Sure.
And this has to do with foreign affairs, obviously, in Canada and its external policies. But here you have this University of Toronto and an article by Elisa Schofield for February 18th in Rabble CA that was dealing specifically with the administration trying to deny a legitimate student group space on their own campus. And I suspect that even though the so-called Canadian model of the hate crimes bill up there does not directly become implicated, it is the same groups behind that legislation that want to punish free speech and punish anything that is critical of Israel as well as so-called homosexual agendas, that it is they who are behind this movement, clearly, on campuses to squelch any point of view that would not be, shall we say, very, very favorable to Israel.
Yes. Well, We're in kind of a race to the finish line here, Rick, between the aggressive Jewish supremacist agenda of steamrolling, bullying its way forward despite world opinion and so on, getting their hate laws passed, taking control of governments, etc., versus a very much of a rising tide of anger against such Jewish supremacist control. And especially after the invasion and bludgeoning of Gaza last month, there's been a really great rise in anger against Zionism, etc. And the question is, who can reach the finish line first? What I'm hoping and praying for is that the temperature will rise as far as anger, awareness, activism, protest against this kind of overweening arrogance on the part of the Zionist media, the media of Jewish supremacists in government, APACs, Zionism in Israel, and so on, so that they'll have to take pause and they'll say, hey, wait a minute, maybe we'll blow everything if we try to push too much, too far, too quickly on the people, on the nations of the world. You know, Abe Foxman, the head of the ADL, gave a speech last week in which he was literally almost to the point of tears, bewailing the exponential rise of so-called anti-Semitism, criticism of Israel, criticism of Jewish control, and so on in the world today. And, of course, he would like to raise funds out of that kind of a message, but I think there's a very great deal of truth in it that all across campuses in the United States, I believe, in fact, here in March, there's going to be something like 18 college campuses in America observing Israel Apartheid Day, which is very critical of Israeli abuse of the Palestinians. And I guess ADL and the Jewish lobby, Jewish organizations are going to be on campus too protesting. But this is a very healthy development, because I remember back in 1982 when Israel bombed the daylights out of southern Lebanon, that there was no protest on campus. There was no protest from anybody, hardly worldwide, except for a few columnists like Georgie Ann Geyer and a few others. And here we're seeing a very, very wide protest, very largely on the Internet and on college campuses against Israeli misbehavior.
Right, right. Well, that's very interesting, because now we do have the I don't have time to go into them, but we have the two British writers who are languishing in obscurity in a California jail, their crime, satire, mockery, and disbelief in the Holocaust, by Mark Green, and that was, of course, on Rants as well. And then we have the story of Bishop Williamson, and I don't know if you're familiar now with what's going on the discourse and the exchange between the Vatican and the Israeli government over the reinstatement, if you will, of Bishop Williamson and others. But now we have this latest story, which is very interesting because it cuts to the heart of free speech for whom? And it is the story of Vatican irked by blasphemous Israeli TV show. On a private, quote-unquote, private Israeli TV program on Channel 10 in Israel, ridiculed and blasphemed both Jesus and Mary. And the host farcically denied Christian traditions that Mary was a virgin and that Jesus walked on water, saying he would do so as a, quote, lesson to Christians who deny the Holocaust. So, now, would that qualify as hate speech here in the United States if, in fact, these pieces of legislation were to be enacted, I wonder?
Yes. Well, it certainly would qualify as hate speech in Canada if the laws were utilized in an equitable manner up there, holding any member of a religion or a ethnic group up to hatred or contempt is considered a hate crime. But as you and I know, these laws in Canada and Europe and so on are very selectively enforced. It's the Christians who have to take the abuse. But if a Christian in any way shows contempt or derision for another group, whether it's legitimate or not, then he's going to face a $5,000 fine.
Exactly. So that remains to be seen, then, what will happen But here are some test cases, you know, that we can point to. I'm going to get into that in the second hour a little bit more. But we have a couple of callers, so if you'd like, we'll take a call or two on the subject that we're speaking, and that is the hate crimes, hate speech legislation that have been introduced in the Congress, particularly in the House of Representatives. John in Winnipeg, first of all. Hello, you're on with Ted Pike.
Hi, gentlemen. Yeah, I have tons of first-hand experience in this relationship, although it's not quite, being here in Canada, it's not quite the way Ted understands it. On CPAC, which is, CPAC? Yeah, CPAC yeah. In Canada, similar to your C-SPAN, about a year and a half ago, we had a public hearing on the Hate Crimes Commission and the guys who handle the complaints. And through this process, we discovered that 87%, I think it was, it's in the 80s, higher than 85 anyway, 85% of the complaints were filed by the staff at the Hate Crimes Commission because they got to keep their jobs going. And we, through this process that was televised across Canada, we discovered that all this stuff is already illegal. If you threaten an innocent person violence against their being, and if you're a preacher who does that, you'd truly be satanic because it's in God's interest to treat all people equitably, and that would be unfair. I agree with Ted on so many things, and it's a fight that is so, so important. But there are certain things that I profoundly disagree with him on. You cannot, I went to your website, and you don't give the quotes in the Bible because there's no such thing in Leviticus, Christ advocating or the Lord talking to Moses about the nature of Israel, which is what the discussion is about in that particular passage. It doesn't say anything about homosexuality, and that's what Ted Pike, the Honorable Ted Pike, who's fighting for, trying to fight for just cause, has to really contemplate and reflect upon. Now, I mean, there are other scripture, other aspects of scripture you can look at. You know, the Lord says, you know, you keep your, if you don't keep your beard trimmed, I think it's in Leviticus, where you're going to be put to death. And
well, I think you're missing the point, though, John, here. The point is not whether Ted is accurately quoting a particular scripture. The point of the matter is that in Canada, can an individual who reads a sermon or speaks from the scriptures, regardless of whether they have one particular interpretation or another, can they be prosecuted under the Canadian model of hate speech?
Well, I'm clearly one of the most prolific writers in Canada who condemns the criminals in Israel straight to hell for over a decade. And I've had a couple of threats of lawsuits, and there's been a lot of struggles, but nobody's come to find me. And I'm seriously one of the most prolific authors in Canada. I go by Johnny America right now. I isolate and say these people are ungodly. They're committing criminal acts. So if somebody came at me and said, well, I'm going to enforce the hate crimes against you, I'm going to go, well, look, they're committing genocide. They openly advocate the murder of an innocent other. They're the ones who are in violation of this law. I'm standing in the defense of an innocent person, and it's in God's interest to defend that person. Like Hillel, this organization you're talking about, Hillel, we could send them to hell instantly. All you got to do is quote Hillel to them and go, look, do you want to be sent to a concentration camp, deprived of food and water, because that's what you're doing? And Hillel says that would be ungodly. I mean, this is his only – he only has one teaching. That's all. He says everything is commentary. Just don't do to others what you wouldn't want to be done to yourself. Do you want to live in a concentration camp?
Okay, now just for a moment here, let Ted respond to what I brought up and what you brought up. Ted, do you have a response to John?
Yes, you know, I had a very interesting number of discussions with what's his name? Bill Watcott out in Saskatchewan, and he has been, my oh my, he has been arrested, indicted, found guilty at least five or six times according to the hate laws out there. One time he was, this was in 1994, he was protesting Planned Parenthood on a public sidewalk. He was arrested, indicted, convicted for a hate crime. In fact, he was sentenced to 6 months in prison for that act. And then in 2003, he held up a sign with pictures of several aborted fetuses. He served 6 or 8 days in prison for that, plus a fine of $15,000. Mm-hmm. And then another time, he protested abortion, and I forget exactly what that was. That was another huge fine, And then he lost his nursing license permanently in Canada, because I understand the nursing profession is kind of quasi-governmental up there. He has been forever barred from being a male nurse, and his present bill for his the legal expenses of all these cases is now at least $250,000, the sum which he can never even hope to repay. He's presently in under indictment under Section 319 of the federal hate crimes law for criticizing homosexuality. He has been arrested and convicted several times for simply putting out simple flyers critical of homosexuality. And he told me he was a homosexual one time before he became a Christian. Now, that's the reality, as far as I can see, about what's going on in Canada.
All right. Hey, let's take a break. Thank you for the call, John. We'll be back with Bill and Doug next for our guest, Ted Pike. I'm Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger, right here on RepublicBroadcasting.org.
Whatever needs to be done, we gotta do ourselves.
And we are back now again with Ted Pike of www.truthtellers.org. Ted, let's take another call from Bill in Idaho next. Hello there, Bill.
Hello, good evening, gentlemen. Thanks so very much. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Bill.
Yes, I just wanted to thank you so very much, and certainly Pastor Pike. But I was hoping that he got over to BBC to hear the real punchline in regard to Mr. Foxman. He was all over it last week, of course. I'm sure you're aware. He's been everywhere. But considering what you're dealing with, a sincere request, considering Mr. Warner is getting ready to be knighted, right? I would ask that you would review USA, the house that no one lives in. Chris Hinckley, RoadWarriorRadio.com, has been covering it on this station very clearly and succinctly. It's in the archives and show notes. Considering that Seneca, Cicero, Caesar always mentioned that it would be well that we know our enemy, and considering that between 1868 and 1933, the 14th Amendment, had no effect upon the population whatsoever. If you go to Joint Resolution 192, June 5, 1933, when our great-great-grandparents gave up that gold, they gave up the law. And subsequently, we have now been morphed from the Republic into the administrative democracy. When 51% of the population volunteered for that private trust, it became a public trust. That's statutes and codes. The subcommittees, the judiciary committee, is run by subcommittees, all the NGOs and all the special ADL interests of those high Nazis that we're also concerned of. If we are aware of what ultimately the effect of what Mr. Lee Ropes was trying to tell us in USA, the Republic, is the house that no one lives in, we would be able to get over to and understand sentiments in the John Marshall Law Review. Ultimately, it'll bring us to an understanding of where we can take control of the battle and not have to continue to fight the same battle over and over again. And I hope that people out there are listening very closely to Dr. Watt. He documents the same discussion. If not Robbie, Robbie played an audio off of his tape. It might not be you today, but if you don't support this station and send in a little bit to help, this lone voice of truth won't be there any longer, I'm sure.
All right.
Thank you both so very much.
Sure. All right. Thank you. I appreciate those words. Ted, any response to what Bill has said?
Yes. I appreciate the erudition of that. I think what I have to do in a very practical and a straightforward way is to say that despite the all of the detail you give, what I have to do is basically go for the eye of this octopus, which has, through many tentacles, eroded and undermined our republic in so many ways. I basically have to say that there is an ADL Jewish supremacist conspiracy to undermine this republic at many levels, and right now these federal hate crimes bills in the House Judiciary have to occupy our total attention, because if we do not stop these hate bills, we will go the way of Canada. All our other rights, all our other freedoms, in fact, the whole Constitution of the United States, which we have been talking about, will be downriver from us, and we will never be able to get back to it. So it is absolutely vital tonight that we remember that the single idea of this topic this evening, get those calls in protesting the hate bills.
All right. If you wish to just, because of the time, spend another 5 minutes or so of the next hour,
sure.
You can stay. Ted, we'll do that, all right?
You bet.
Okay, then we'll take another call, maybe. All right. Rick Adams and Ted Pike, truthtellers.org, my guest. We shall return.